Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Institute for Personal Development, Kriya Yoga Ashram, where total consciousness is the new frontier.
Kriya Yoga is union of the individual with the divine. Join us as we explore the practices to initiate this process.
Good morning. Welcome to the Voice of Yoga. Let's Talk Consciousness. I am your hostess, Lisa Winton, and with me is Kenny Choi, also known as Swami Jayananda, founder of the Institute for Personal Development, located here in Hampton, New Hampshire. Good morning, Swami. Thank you for being here today. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing pretty good today. How about you?
Well, I'm doing great today, too. Thanks for asking. And we want to thank you all for tuning in. Today on The Voice of Yoga, we will talk about Chapter 4 in Zechariah and the symbolism of oil in the Bible as the pouring of divine truth in consciousness. Listen as we explore the teaching of Herb Fitch Class 16A, the Fourth Dimension series from the Mount of Olives. In this show, we will discuss the symbolism of the infrastructure of the infinite spiritual body as the Kriya Yoga chakra system. Welcome to the Voice of Yoga. We are talking consciousness. Join the Kriya Yoga spiritual advance to get the light in your soul and be anointed by being an instrument of divine truth. Swami, I see the title of today's show is Zechariah and the Secret of the Oil. What made you decide to do the show on this particular topic?
Well, when I started following Herb Fitch's class and he started to talk about the symbolism of the oil, in this model, the oil is a symbol for spiritual light, and the pouring of oil is the revealing of the light of spiritual truth on the mental material world of energy. The spirit of divine truth itself is accepted as the presence, the life, and the identity of your own being. In this class, Herb mentioned 3 degrees of development, which is something that we have been working with in Kriya Yoga for a long time, the 3 phases in human development. In fourth dimension, Herb breaks it down. The 1st degree is being a good human. The 2nd degree, we develop the intelligent problem-solving mind. And the 3rd degree, you surrender the human mind for the divine mind, which is very similar to the 3 degrees Mary Baker Eddy writes about in Science and Health, page 115 and 116. In her model, the 1st degree is depravity, physical. The 2nd degree, evil beliefs disappearing, moral. And the 3rd degree, understanding, spiritual. And again, everything corresponds with the 3 phases in human development we use in Kriya Yoga. Phase 1, physical, unconscious awareness. Phase 2, mental, self-conscious awareness. And phase 3, spiritual, superconscious awareness. And a benefit for having all of this information about it is, in order to be able to really teach divine science, it's important to understand how it's working. Because if somebody is not able to voice or express what was called the mind of Christ, which, as Gilbert Carpenter said in his writing, a thing divinely and scientifically natural to one whose thought is freed from the influence of the mortal mind. Most of this idea of pouring the oil is really about the experience we have when thought is freed from the influence of the material senses. And now we're getting our information from the divine creation, what was called the Word of God.
So if we were to take the 3 degrees from what Herb Fitch is saying, the 3 degrees of development, and then Mary Baker Eddy's, and then also the Kriya Yoga. So the first one would be good human. And then the first degree of Mary Baker Eddy is depravity or physical. And then the first one in yoga is the physical and unconscious awareness. So are we saying the one from Herb Fitch, the good human, is that meaning we're unconscious to what we really think God is all about, and being a good human is just conduct?
Well, what Herb Fitch means by what he is saying, I can't really say I know. But I do know what we're talking about here is there are 3 modes of mortal thought that we must come out of. And when you break it down, our original state and consciousness is we're basically hypnotized. We're being individualized from the world mind. Mary Baker Eddy called that animal magnetism. And when you're controlled by instinct, appetite, preservation, survival, fear, fear-based motivation, which is a defense mechanism for the false sense of self. If you can accept yourself to be mortal and your goal is to become a good human, then you're basically operating from a particular level of consciousness. Another way of looking at this is the phases of development, say, for example, of a butterfly. Butterflies aren't born butterflies, they're born caterpillars. Caterpillars are insects in the larvae state. They do nothing but indulge. The characteristics of the human in the larvae state, we're careless, we're emotional, we're indulgent, we're excitable. The caterpillar doesn't wake up one morning and say, where did these wings come from? Caterpillars go into a chrysalis. And the same is true with human development. In earlier times, we had points of passage, rites of passage. There were periods in our lives where we actually had to do something different. The idea of a human going into a chrysalis could be explained by the rituals, the ceremonies, the ordeals, the ascetic practices of religions or metaphysical, mystical disciplines and systems. Because what we're trying to do is come out of being reactive and emotional and develop human intelligence to be able to make your decisions based on the information that is coming through your material senses and to do it with reason. We develop discipline and willpower, and we're able to make conscious choices based on values that are in accordance with universal order. This is what we called being intelligent. But then if you want to go the distance, the 3rd degree that they're talking about is where you graduate and you take reason through the open door of revelation, where you graduate from thinking with your 5 material senses, and now you must begin to function from your 7 spiritual senses. Which is a quantum leap. All the rules change. And what you were spending your time developing a personal sense of self now must be surrendered. But if we don't develop that, then we have nothing to upgrade with. We have nothing to trade in. You can't just walk in and say, I'm here, I'm spiritual. Life is perfect. There has been a lot of preparatory work. In Kriya Yoga, we recognize that as the effortful work of concentration becomes the effortless flow state of meditation.
I was going to ask you about that 3rd degree, especially when Herb says surrender the human mind for the divine mind. I think that word surrender is pretty important. And then Mary Baker Eddy using the word understanding. And then, of course, in the Kriya Yoga, the superconscious awareness. To me, these sound like the same thing. But my question to you is, we're still in a mortal mind, so how can we surrender the human mind or the mortal mind for the divine mind?
Yeah, one of the things that you're going to find is you can bring forth the divine image with the mortal mind, but you can't get there without the mortal mind. And the idea of a better use of mortal mind, and I really like what Herb Fitch wrote in Fourth Dimension. I'll read it. "Now, on our way to discovering our own inadequacies, one of our major problems has been that we have relied upon human wisdom. There was always my finger in the pie, and in so doing, we had used the mind not as an instrument to receive the Father, but as a thinking, creative, even worrying mind, a mind that was going to find solutions. And we discovered that trap. That mind which wants to find solutions is not your mind." End of quote. Okay, now this is the whole thing that he's talking about, is when you're graduating from degree number 2, where your personal sense of self is intact. Now you're trying to take this reason and walk it through the door of revelation, which will dissolve the false sense of self. It dissolves the personal sense of self. And what we learn is it's very threatening to the personal sense of self, but at the same time, it's an upgrade. You're graduating from this limited mortal sense of self into an infinite immortal sense of self. You're graduating from reason to revelation, from material sense to spiritual sense. It's a whole different ballgame. You're going from duality into the absolute. Spirit is whole, it's complete, it's fulfilled. You're going from imperfection, time, space, concept, belief, human will, thinking. All of the limitations we associated with and we worked with and we tried to figure out solutions to these problems, now all of a sudden we stop thinking. And we make the mind an avenue of awareness for the presence of the divine mind. And it's almost like what it reminds me of is you run for a train. And then when you finally catch the train, you sit down.
So is Herb trying to instruct us that we shouldn't be using our mind to worry or to think in our human sense, but we need to use our mind as an instrument to receive the Father?
Right. And that's what we're learning is thinking, forming thoughts and opinions based on the information coming through our material senses is the interference pattern. It's the veil. It is what is preventing us from seeing the truth, the divine creation, the perfection of being, which is right here, right now, functioning.
And so when that happens, this is what we're talking about in the topic of the show today, and we're talking about the oil that runs. Is this what we mean?
Yeah, the oil is a symbol for spiritual light, and the pouring of oil is the revealing of the light of spiritual truth and its influence on the mental material world of energy. See, the idea here is when we stop thinking and we make the mind aware for the presence of divine mind, we no longer have to figure things out. There isn't anything that we could do humanly with this human faculty that could even compare to the function of divine mind, which is all-knowing. Omnipresent, it's everywhere, and it's all powerful. And so we surrender this personal sense of self, and at the same time, we become that place where divine truth begins to illuminate our thought, This is the idea of the Christ. What makes the divine creation comprehensive to human consciousness? Or even, say, for example, in the Good Shepherd parable, I am the door of the sheep. And so this is the door through which reason now becomes revelation, where our thought is now influenced by the word of the divine creative principle.
Well, we're going to pause right here to hear a word from our sponsor. So listeners, we'll be back with you in just a few moments. Institute for Personal Development Incorporated is a Kriya Yoga ashram offering yoga classes in all 8 stages of Kriya Yoga, including classes, personal training, teacher training, residential program, online live classes, and online products for self-discovery and transformation. Discover, learn, and practice one of the oldest and purest forms of yoga, Kriya Yoga, by uniting ancient religion with modern science. Visit www.ipdtransform.com. Namaste. Welcome back. For those of you just joining us, you're listening to The Voice of Yoga, and we are talking consciousness. So I'd like to talk more about the oil, and specifically, I'd like to ask you questions about anointing. Now, I was not raised Catholic, but I know that there's a lot of anointing, I think, that goes on in that religion. Could you maybe give us some insight on that?
Well, again, most of what goes on, in my opinion, about religion is mostly empty form now. It's a lot of ritual, ceremony, even sometimes ordeal. But I really like what Herb Fitch defined the anointing in Fourth Dimension. And I'll read it. Now, every one of us who comes to the point where we're willing to give up our mental knowledge of truth receives what may be called an anointing. Yeah, see, for me, this has much more meaning than putting oil on somebody's forehead or anything along those lines, because first of all, you had to develop a personal sense of self. And now you have to surrender it to this divine principle. And you let the divine principle take over the scientific government of your body. And then that has an evidence procedure to it, because it requires that I had to have graduated from this first degree to the second degree, and now I'm in the third degree. I am in a position where I am accepting spiritual identity. And I'm no longer a human being thinking about truth. I now understand myself in the way that I am created. I understand myself to be spirit. And in this understanding, you experience the oneness.
Well, let's talk about Zechariah that we had mentioned earlier, and what is it that he has to teach us?
Yeah, the description you get in Zechariah 4, especially in verses 2 and 3, and if you want, I'll read them. What seest thou? And I said, I have looked, and behold, a candlestick all of gold, with a bowl upon the top of it, and his 7 lamps thereon, and 7 pipes to the 7 lamps, which are upon the top thereof, and 2 olive trees by it, one upon the right side of the bowl, and the other upon the left side thereof. So I answered and spake to the angel that talked with me, saying, What are these, my Lord? That's the end of that quote. Yeah, this reminds me a lot of the diagram that we use for the logo at Institute for Personal Development. And also Mary Baker Eddy's reference to importance of having a proper sense of the infinite. And if you have this diagram and you understand a little bit more about maybe the symbolism they're talking about here because of the seven lamps they're on. So in Kriya Yoga, we use seven chakras. Now, in our diagram, we translate those chakras into personal planets. So the seven personal planets, the planets that can be seen with the naked eye, starting with Saturn at the root center, Jupiter at the navel center, Mars at the solar plexus, Venus at the heart center, Mercury at the throat center, and then at the third eye center, you've got the moon and the sun. Now, symbolically, all of this really gives us a better diagram for this idea of process. And then, of course, we in yoga, we have Ida, which is the path of descending prana. That could be symbolized by one of the olive trees. Then you've got ascending prana, the one on the right side, the other olive tree. Another symbol that really resonates with me is the idea of the moon and the sun. Hatha yoga means sun-moon union. The path of prana begins at the feminine terminal of the third eye center, which is the moon center, and then it spirals downward and it touches upon the feminine terminal of the lower six energy centers. And then at Saturn, at the root center, it begins its ascent and it rises up and it touches upon the masculine terminal of your lower six energy centers. And then it exits at the masculine side of the third eye center, which was symbolized by the sun. And so this idea of process, another great biblical story that will enrich what it is that we're talking about here is the transfiguration, where Jesus takes James, Peter, and John to the mountaintop. Now, that basically is the ascension of consciousness from Muladhara Chakra, Saturn at the root center, which could be symbolized by the Mary Baker Eddy word principle or the Christ. And so Jesus is the metaphysical symbol for the Christ. James could be Jupiter or Mary Baker Eddy's word soul. Peter is Mars, Mary Baker Eddy's word life. John is Venus, or Mary Baker Eddy's word for love. And then, of course, the mountaintop is Mercury. Mercury was Vishuddha Chakra, and the symbol for Mary Baker Eddy's word is mind. And now, at the mountaintop, then appears Moses and Elijah. Moses was the symbol for truth. And Elijah is the symbol for spirit. So you've got this sun, moon, truth and spirit, and the union of them, which, as we learn, becomes a big part of this inner marriage that we're all talking about. And a little bit more from Zechariah that we have here on the olive trees, verses 11 to 14. Then answered I and said unto him, what are these two olive trees upon the right side of the candlestick and upon the left side thereof? And I answered again and said unto him, what be these two olive branches which through the two golden pipes empty the golden oil out of themselves? And he answered me and said, knowest thou not what these be? And I said, no, my Lord. Then said he, these are the two anointed ones that stand by the Lord of the whole earth. End of quote.
Swami, how would you explain the golden oil from that verse?
Yeah, using symbolism as a map in consciousness to eliminate the guesswork of healing Let's read this from Herb Fitch again. Fourth dimension. The two anointed ones that stand by the Lord of the whole earth, and therein is our clue to what we are striving to do. Our subject is oil, the symbol of something else. Wherever you have found a problem, you have lacked that oil. Wherever some inner substance has come to dissolve the problem, it has been that oil. But hit or miss, getting it by random, by accident, has to be substituted now by knowing where the oil is, what it is, and how you open the soul center to let it flow. End of quote. And then a little further on, he says, and I'll read it, the oil is the spiritual substance which forms the body of the soul. End of quote. The physical body is the manifestation of the mortal mind, and the body of the soul is the manifestation of the divine mind. It is found in consciousness, but working with the idea what surrounds us is within us, we use the zodiac and the personal planets to give us the astral image for the spirit body, which is invisible and intangible to the material senses. And it seems as if this is something that Zechariah himself was using as well.
So I know we've been talking a lot about human development and spiritual development. It seems to me that we actually need both of them in order to be able to get this oil to flow.
Right. We do need the mind-body complex. And in development, we see the effortful work of concentration becomes the effortless flow state of meditation. Meditation is a shift in consciousness. And the first 2 degrees are human will. But the 3rd degree is the acceptance of the divine will as the only will, the only life there is. And as Herb said, that the oil of the incorporeal body, that oil which forms the substance of your eternal body, can never flow into a human being. To be awake to Christ and dead to self becomes the way in which the soul center opens to press the divine oil, to express the divine oil, which takes us into the transitional experience. End of quote. Yeah, the idea of the crucifixion of the body, the resurrection of the Son, the reunion with the Father, caterpillar, chrysalis, butterfly. These 3 degrees of development we go through, and the evidence procedures that would be accompanying them, because we really must know what it's going to look like when we're doing this. Because spirit is a demonstrable principle, and divine truth in consciousness must bring forth the divine fruits, the fruits of the Spirit. And in accepting and living in the knowledge of the infinite spiritual body takes care of what seems to be a personal physical body. That's how this becomes a very practical guide for highly effective living.
Well, it is that time to close our show for today. Listeners, be sure to visit the website, www.ipdtransform.com. On the homepage, when you see the fading banner, Blog Talk Radio, click it directs you to its catalog page. Click the products tab and online classes directs you to all the classes that Swami has available. Swami, any final thoughts about today's program?
Well, I would like to encourage people to join the Kriya Yoga Spiritual Advance, get the light in your soul, and be anointed by being an instrument of divine truth. Namaste.
Thank you for listening to our program, The Voice of Yoga. This is Lisa Winton, along with Swami Jayananda, signing off. Have a wonderful Kriya Yoga Kind of Day. Namaste.